Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for the gift of your Son and the gift of salvation. Lord, that we can't earn, that we can't work for, but it's freely given because of who you are, in spite of who we are. And so, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to share with you what I think is one of the most powerful things that Jesus said in the Bible. And it comes with a lot of misunderstanding. Everybody, you ever been misunderstood? I got a new phone, a new cell phone, and I was just telling my wife, I love this phone. And I just went on and on about it, telling her how much I loved the phone. And she was, you know, pretty much, she's like, okay, I've heard enough about your phone. Well, here comes a misunderstanding. I was at a buffet somewhere in Bowling Green, and I was reaching to get something. And my phone fell out of my pocket into the chocolate pudding. The misunderstood part hasn't come yet. So I took it out. It's got chocolate pudding on it. And when I'm done, I look over and my wife's like, that is sick. That is sick. So we've all been misunderstood. I think what Jesus said here has been misunderstood by a lot of people. Wasn't that a great story to illustrate how this is misunderstood? How many of you have a whole new low level of respect for me? I'm serious. You don't waste chocolate pudding on a napkin. Everybody knows that, right? Apparently not. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. Jesus says this, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. So to the sheep, good evening. Good evening. And so this is what Jesus says. It's a powerful teaching, but I believe that it is commonly misunderstood. Now, I want to tell you, it's very important to me that theologically we see what Jesus was saying in the proper light, because a lot of bad theologies have been taken from this. Listen to what he goes on to say. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, we're in church. It's Wednesday night, and we're in church. And I want to tell you, there's no place I'd rather preach than right here on a Wednesday night to the people that I love so much, who have endured so much with me preaching on a Wednesday night. And I was thinking about us in the context of what Jesus is saying. And I was thinking that it would be easy in church just to say, wow, so here's the criteria to spend all of eternity in heaven with Jesus. Here it is. Here's how I get heaven. What do? I find somebody that's hungry and I... And we're all in this together. I find somebody hungry and I... I find someone thirsty. I didn't set that one up well. There's a lot of answers. You know, to do these nice, kind things, there's a couple things that may have nothing to do with the message, but I want to say them. How many of you know what it's really like to be hungry? I mean, really. There's a few. Because when I think about me, I don't know that in my adult life I've ever eaten because I was hungry. I eat because it's time. Anybody, Anybody else like that? I don't even need a clock. Everything revolves around three meals. In the morning, it's breakfast. Hour and a half or so after breakfast, it's morning snack. Right after that, lunch. Hour after that, it's afternoon snack. Everybody knows that. Some of you look really confused right now. I don't know what it's like to be hungry. I don't know what it's like to be thirsty. I don't know what it's like to not have a place to go. Because believe it or not, if something happened to me right now, my parents would take me right back. Now, my wife, I don't know. But I know there's a place I could go. Don't know that I really understand this, but now let me really preach. How many of us know what it's like to feed somebody that's hungry? To give somebody a drink who's really authentically thirsty. And I'd say a lot of us maybe at that point, some of us, you know, might raise our hands. And let me say this. I feel like I need to say this. I was a youth pastor, if you can believe that people would entrust me with their teenagers. But I was a youth pastor, and I took about 40, 50 kids to New Orleans. By the way, don't ever do that. And so we went, and I may have told you a story, but it's worth telling again. And we get about an hour from New Orleans, and we stop at a gas station because I don't know where I'm going. And I've got like five vans. I've got seven or eight really worried adults. And we stop at this gas station. And while I'm inside trying to get directions, the kids start talking to this guy. Don't know nothing about this guy. It looked like that everything he owned was in his backpack. It looked like he probably hadn't bathed in a couple weeks. And he was, and what was even more disconcerting, he had this little paper bag, and I don't know what was in it. But there's something ominous about it. You know what I'm saying? No? Okay. And we come out, and the kids are like, Pastor Jamie, this guy knows right where we're going. It's like, well, wonderful. And the kid suggested we take him because that's where he was headed. And I agreed. And we put him in the van. And my adults have pulled me to the side and assured me that there'll be a meeting when we get home. Because they were very upset that I allowed this guy to go. And so we get where we're going an hour down the road. And you guys, we get out of the van. That guy gets out and he's got a headset. You know what I mean? Back then it took a cassette tape. Anybody remember those? They held on your side, which I could never wear one now. But you know what I'm talking about? It goes right on the side there. Put the cassette in, headphones. Some kid gave it to him. The kids among themselves came up with about $120 and gave it to him. The kids were giving him some of the food that they had in the snacks that they had packed. One of the kids gave him a Bible that her grandmother had given her. I was blown away. And I felt bad, so I threw in a dollar myself because, you know, everybody else was doing it. So we go to the church where we're going to be, and I'm just overwhelmed by what my students had done. I was blown away. And so we go to the church, and the other youth group is there, but their youth pastor's not there. And so we're waiting for him to come, and they said, oh, here he comes. And he comes through the door, and it was the guy with the backpack and the headphones and the food. And obviously, I had set that up long in advance for that to happen. Those kids hated me for about 3 weeks. But I wanted to see what they would do. I wanted to see what was inside of them. I wanted to see who they really were. That's what's going on here. This is what's happening. And Jesus says, man, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was sick, you nursed me. When I was in jail, you visited me. You did these things. And then the righteous, they say back to him, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. For one of the least of these, when you ministered to them, you ministered to me. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. Jesus is not given the criteria for how to get eternal life. Because what have you heard a gazillion times out of me? You can't earn eternal life. So you cannot just do these things and then stand before Jesus and say, man, I fed some hungry people. I put some clothes on some people. That's not the deal. Jesus wasn't judging them by what they did. He was judging them by whose they were. Do you understand that? And this has been way misunderstood. You're going to hear somebody preach this sometime, and they're going to say, and if you do these things, then you'll be okay. How many of you remember the Wednesday night Tony Campolo preached? Okay, never mind. It was very eventful. It was a packed house on a Wednesday night, and Tony Campolo came and preached, and I love Tony Campolo. But this is a disagreement that Tony Campolo and I have. That you can't earn salvation. You see, what Jesus is saying about the righteous is they do these things because they are compelled by what Jesus has done for them. They're not just doing kind things. That is the kind of people they are. So here's the challenge. For us, I mean, I've heard this sermon preached a lot to rah-rah everybody up and tell them to leave and tell them, go feed somebody, go clothe somebody, go take somebody in, go do these things. That's not the point. Here's the point. If you are not doing those things, you are not saved. Not because you're saved by doing those things, but because when you are saved, those are the kind of things that you do. Do you understand? I want to be clear as I can be on what is happening here. Because then Jesus says to the others, to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You did not look after me. And they also will answer. Very interesting. Neither group realized. The one didn't realize that they had done it to him. And the others didn't realize they hadn't done it to him. And this is a very important observation. The point that Jesus makes in the story is even the righteous said, I don't remember seeing you hungry. And they might have said, I remember feeding people. I remember giving some people something to drink. I remember taking some people in. I remember going to the hospital. I remember going to the jail. I remember doing those things, but I don't remember that you were there, Jesus. You see, the point is that when you are a believer, those are the kind of things that you just naturally do. You naturally have a heart for those who are struggling in some kind of a way. We naturally have a heart. We don't do it so that Jesus will love us. If Jesus is inside of us, we naturally have a heart. We naturally have that kind of compassion. And that is what is going on in the story. And I don't want us to miss that. Because you can't preach this and not say, so are you doing those things? But I'm not going to do it the way that I've heard so many times. If tonight you know that that compassion is not there. I mean, how much more clear could Jesus be? And this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus telling them, here's what's going to happen on the last day. I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. Now, that wouldn't have blown anybody away, because at this time, they usually would herd the sheep and the goats together. And the reason separating would become an issue is because at night, the goats had to be separated because they had to go to a place of greater protection against the weather. And so every shepherd would have to do that. So everybody hearing this story is going to have a clue about what's going on. And Jesus says, and he says to the sheep, to the righteous, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. This is what we do when we are followers of Jesus. This is what we do. You see, after Katrina hit, all kinds of people ran to New Orleans. But I want you to know, after all this time later, pretty much the only groups that are there now are churches. It ought to be that way. It ought to be that way. I've always said, I think the government probably, it gets way too involved, but God raised them up because the church wouldn't do what the church was called to do. If your neighbor has a need, in some way, as a follower of Jesus, you have a compassion about the need that's in your neighbor's life. Now listen, this is Christianity. Listen, this isn't how to become a Christian, meet your neighbor's need. I'll reiterate that several times. I'm saying if you are a Christian, you have a compassion because of the need of your neighbor. And you have a compassion because Jesus lives inside of you. This is what Jesus is talking about. This isn't even talking about compassion ministries. Jesus didn't say this, and then the apostle said, okay, we're going to start a ministry, we're going to make a committee, and we're going to go to try to meet a bunch of needs. Jesus is saying, if you are truly mine, these will be the pictures of your life. Can you meet every need in the world? Some of you are confused. You're not sure. Some of you want to say, well, if I got Jesus, I can. No, you cannot. You can't meet every need in the world. I don't know about you. I can't meet every need that's on my street. I'm doing good to meet the needs in my house. Amen. My wife got me a bike. She wants me to start taking it to work every day. I was like, honey, I think we're okay. We can afford the gas. She goes, well, I wasn't really thinking about the gas. So most of us don't really know what it's like to be hungry. Most of us don't know what it's really like to need a drink. Most of us don't really know what it's like to not have a place to go. But those aren't the questions of tonight. The questions for tonight are, do you know what it is to feed somebody that's hungry? Do you know what it is to give someone who is thirsty a drink? I mean, do you really know those things? Do you really know those things? Are those things a part of your life? Just in how you are following Jesus day in and day out. I don't know about you, but it never fails if I've worked at some place, especially other than the church, but if I've worked at some place or I've lived in some place, it seems like I always find out when somebody has a need. It's like almost supernatural that somebody would say something to somebody who would say something to somebody who would say something to me. I remember one Sunday at a different church, a guy came up and he shook my hand. He had tears in his eyes. And I could tell when I shook his hand, there was something in his hand. I like those handshakes. And I could tell there's something. He's crying. He goes, I don't know. The Lord just wanted me to do this. So just do whatever you want with this. You know, you just put it in your pocket. You don't know what it is. You can't wait, though, to get somewhere where you can see what it is. It was a $100 bill. And this was at a time when I was still buying boxes of diapers a week. And I was just so thrilled. And I just got to thinking, we really, in that moment, probably were okay without it. I remember seeing my wife after church was over, and she was crying. And I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "I just met a lady, and she's just telling me what's going on in her life, and I just feel like God wants us to give her $100. I said, "When?" Because we were going to Ryan's after church, you know. And I said, "Are you sure? Are you really?" Maybe she was lying, you know. I know, I'm a jerk. And so the Lord made us aware of a need. And in that case, even gave the provision to meet the need. I'll never forget giving my wife $50 and telling her. That is so wrong, isn't it? That is wrong. You shouldn't even be laughing, but you are. But that's how God works sometimes. Because most of the times when I know there's a need, there's nobody sliding me nothing. You know what I'm saying? Most of the time when I learn that there's a need, it's just like, wow. And sometimes you meet a need that's no big deal, and you can do it, right? And sometimes you meet a need that will be painful to help in some kind of way. And you have those seasons in your life. But this sums up the life of a follower of Jesus. I remember when I was in college, and I was much more radical back then. You know, I've calmed down a little bit since then. And I used to love, like, Christmas time. You know, of course, I never hardly had any money, but I always loved if I had enough money that I'd be behind somebody, like at the grocery store, and I'd just say, "I'm paying for that," and I'd pay for their groceries. I love to do stuff like that. I love to do that. In that season of my life, that stuff just got me so excited. Because it felt so, because nobody knew me, because I went to college and way far away from where I grew up. Nobody knew me. This should sum up the life of followers of Jesus. You know, it comes in different seasons as you get older. And, you know, I mean, I might have went to college with somebody who needed money to get something at McDonald's. And one, they probably didn't need it, you know. But it was great, you know, if mom had sent me some money that week, it was great, you know, to be able to do something. And I remember just loving, I remember just wanting to do more. And listen, just hear me. Because there's been so many times when I knew of the need and I didn't do anything. And here we are. What would sum up your life? And no doubt, in a room this size, we are on every level of economic place. And there's some that have much. There's some that have little, and some maybe that have none, nothing. We're all across the place. But I promise you, the needs that God makes you aware of and the compassion that's in your heart, He will move in some kind of a way. The reason I think this is so important, the reason I think these are some of the most powerful things that Jesus spoke, is because this should sum up our lives. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, this should sum up our lives. Whether you have very little or you have a whole lot, this should sum up our lives. And let me just say this. It begins with the compassion that God gives us. Because I want it to be clear. As you leave here tonight, I want it to be clear that what you've heard that Jesus has said is that this isn't how to get to heaven. This is how those who are going to heaven live their lives. Because salvation is not based on any merit. You cannot, it's the gift of God. Through Jesus Christ the Son, His sacrifice on the cross, that you and I are forgiven and we have salvation. And then Jesus says, and this is how we will live our lives. This is how we will live our lives. And so the righteous, they didn't realize it. When they were feeding people and clothing people and doing what they were doing, they didn't even realize, they didn't even think that it was Jesus. And Jesus says, this ministry is so profound that in doing it to the least of these, you are doing it to me. I remember one time when we was in college, we ordered some pizza and there was one piece left and me and my roommate grabbed for it at the same time. And we just looked at each other. I outweighed him just by a little bit. And I just looked at him. I said, you know, Curtis, Jesus says if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto him. And Curtis let go of it and he said, you are one of the least of these. So, there you go. That compassion. Wanting to meet the need. Caring enough to know there's a need. You are saved by the grace of God. Make no mistake about that. It was Jesus who saved you. It was Jesus who loved you. You were not after him, but he was after you. You love him because he first loved you. Oh, what a grace that has been shown to us. What mercy has been given to us. And then if you are a follower of Jesus, it's a life of compassion. It's a life of caring. Have you have ever felt like, I wish I just didn't care so much? Then you're probably following Jesus. You get to those places. You know, the phone rings. Thank God for caller ID. Oh, it's them again. What does Jeremy Lee want now? There's Jeremy sitting in the middle. You know, you get that call. Well, what do they want now? And you just put the phone down saying, we're having family time. But you got to go get the phone. And you're saying, I wish I didn't care so much. But we do care. And you can't escape it if you're a follower of Jesus. You can't get away from it if you're a follower of Jesus. You will care. If you can't meet the need, it will bother you that you can't meet the need. It will bother you that there is a need there. That's what's so incredible about being a church. This, a week from Saturday, September 27th, we're having a single mom's oil change and car wash. How many of you have ever heard of it? Okay. How many of you have ever been there and worked it? Okay, let me just tell you, we need a ton of people to be there. It is a great day to meet a need. It's a great day. I'd invite you to come and be a part. If you don't know how to change oil, you can walk around with me with a walkie-talkie. Okay? You don't have, don't worry, there is something for everybody to do to be a part. That's what's great about being the church. That's what's great. When Jesus is separating the sheep from the goats, what's incredible is the sheep have worked together in unity. They have worked together. Their compassion has come together. Their resources has come together. Because I might not be able to meet somebody's need, but maybe me and you together can meet somebody's need. But here's the point of the message. Because I feel this temptation to say, so now leave tonight and go feed somebody. And go, but that is not the point of this message. The point of this message is that if you are a Christian, then in some way, shape, or form, this is what's already taking place in your life. This is how you are living. As they come and we prepare for our altar, I want to encourage you. For one, if you're a follower of Jesus, to be thankful for the grace and the mercy that he offers. Two, because no matter where you are as far as needs go, somebody is worse off than you. And somebody has a need that even you can meet if you feel like you're strapped. Not all needs are financial. Do you hear it? I'm doing it again. So go meet a need. Here's what I want to say in closing. If that compassion has not been in your life, then not me, Jesus has said, You're one of the goats. You're one of the ones who won't be going into eternal reward, but rather into eternal punishment. Because if Jesus is in your life, then that compassion is there. Now, maybe you've been disobedient. Maybe you haven't acted the way that you should have, but that compassion is there. That's a step. But if it is not there, here's the message. This is how followers of Jesus live their lives. And if this hasn't been a part of your life, then don't think you're one of the sheep when you really are one of the goats. Because that compassion should be there. It's automatic. It's natural. Do you hear me? It's natural. And I'm obviously talking about natural after Jesus is there. Because before Jesus, there was only one need I was worried about. And that's whatever need I had. But then Jesus comes in. And I begin to look at the world through different eyes. And I begin to look at people through different eyes. And if you're here tonight, and you know that compassion is not there, then I would encourage you tonight to pray very simply that God would save you. We're going to have a time of altar. And if you're a follower of Jesus, I'd invite you to come to the altar tonight and just to pray for the needs that God has already made you aware of. I'd invite you to come and just to pray. And while they're coming, if you're here tonight and you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to pray with you about that or talk with you about that. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you. Because even as I talk about this, I'm reminded of the people who came into my life and met the needs that I had. And just as they met that need, it was really them doing that to you. It wasn't so much them ministering to me as it was your hands. So Lord, I pray tonight for that compassion to be active. I pray tonight for us to be obedient to the compassion that you've placed there. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would save people tonight. You'd forgive their sin. And they'd begin to see the world through different eyes and begin to see other people through different eyes. So we love you, Lord. Let's stand together. Guys, I'm not going to hold the altar long, so you come.